It's 4:30 and 90 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The heroin mixed with fentanyl has it's hit our area now. There's been 5 overdoses with the 1 fatality.
Chief Deputy Joe Klein responds to a rash of drug overdoses in Rowan County.
Governor Bevin says more needs to be done to solve Kentucky's drug problem.
Miners rally in Washington for health care and pension benefits.
In sports, the NFL season kicks off tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
One person is dead as law enforcement agencies in Moorhead warn of 6 heroin overdoses that have occurred in the past 24 hours. Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein says other parts of the state have seen a spike in heroin overdoses, mostly due to an added drug called fentanyl.
What has concerned us for the last week or two since we've been hearing about the overdoses that's taken place in Huntington and Montgomery County and Clark County and I think the Lexington, Louisville area, we were having the same concerns. There's the heroin mixed with fentanyl it's hit our area now.
Klein asks that the family and friends of heroin users remain alert and check up on anyone who may be in danger of overdosing.
Rowan County Attorney Cecil Watkins says communities need additional resources to battle the rash of opioid overdoses. However, Watkins says governments at all levels are stepping up.
A lot more rehabs out here to help these people and a lot more law enforcement to go after a lot of these drug dealers. The federal government has actually stepped in a lot. They can give a lot stiffer sentence than they can in state courts.
There's a community forum in Moorhead next Tuesday night on drug overdoses and how the problem is being addressed. It takes place at the Moorhead Conference Center at 6 o'clock.
Drug overdoses and deaths are spiraling out of control in Kentucky because of the powerful sedatives that are being included in heroin supplies. That's according to the director of the Northern Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy. Kim Moser tells CN2's Pure Politics some heroin now on the streets contains fentanyl or carfentanil. Fentanyl, she says, is 100 times more potent than morphine, while carfentanil is 10,000 times stronger.
I just had a meeting and St. Elizabeth was represented by Ashelle Kritzkamp, who collects all of their data. She is the emergency room nurse manager. And she said that we are already at over 800 overdoses in this year, in 2016. Last year we had 1,158 in all of 2015.
Moser says despite warnings from public health officials, many heroin users simply don't know what they're taking.
Governor Matt Bevin calls Eastern Kentucky's issue with heroin and other drugs heartbreaking. The Republican says the problem is not only destroying individuals and families, but entire communities as well. Bevin believes the long-range solution is to bring more jobs to the region and improve its economy. According to Bevin, there is an important dignity in work and being a part of your community.
You take away that dignity, you ultimately rob people of their humanity. And when you rob someone of their humanity, they eventually make inhumane decisions, not only for themselves, what they do with their own lives, how they treat those around them. And there's a ripple effect, the likes of which causes people to make poor decisions.
Bevin believes expanded broadband service in the region can be a starting point for creating the good jobs needed in eastern Kentucky, along with getting involved with the aeronautics industry, the state's top export business.
A woman and her unborn child are the 15th and 16th murders in Lexington this year. Paul Miles reports.
The police department's Brenna Angel says the shooting happened on Lexington's north side.
Officers located the victim, and she's been identified as 22-year-old Mariah Coleman. She was suffering a gunshot wound. The victim was transported to a hospital where, unfortunately, she succumbed to her injuries.
Coleman was 8 months pregnant, and doctors were unable to save the child. Detectives have only a vague description of possible suspects. I'm Paul Miles.
Deputies in Johnson County are asking for assistance after multiple horses were found shot to death. WKYT reports the three animals were found on a mountain in the Greasy community, where several horses roam the hills. A man, who chose not to be identified, rescued one of the horses earlier in the week. However, when he returned for a second, he discovered three in the herd had been shot and led deputies to the spot. The other horses were moved to a safer area by rescue groups. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact the Johnson County Sheriff's Office at 606-789-3411.
Supporters of the United Mine Workers of America rallied in Washington today to urge Congress to preserve benefits for retired coal miners. UMWA members from 13 states converged for the Keep the Promise rally, where more than a dozen U.S. senators and members of Congress, including Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr, addressed the crowd. Also speaking was UWMA President Cecil Roberts.
I just want to take a minute to tell you how proud I am to be the president of such dedicated, hardworking, both active, laid off, and retired members of the United Mine Workers of America.
Roberts says the risk of losing the legislation is life or death for laid off coal miners and their families, and may lead to many of them making decisions like buying medicine or putting food on the table.
U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito says there's more at stake in coal communities than just protecting the pensions and health care benefits of laid-off or retired miners. The West Virginia Republican says Congress should do both because miners were promised those benefits, but it's just as important for the towns they call home.
In a state like ours, the loss of our coal severance tax has triggered dramatic budget problems for the state and local governments. So not only do we have our retired miners who are under this pressure, they're living in communities that are under additional pressures as well. So we need to keep the promise.
The House and Senate are slated to take up bills to protect miners' pensions and health care coverage before the end of the year. The benefits are in jeopardy because more than 50 coal companies have gone bankrupt in recent years.
A former candidate for mayor of Ashland told city commissioners this afternoon that some people are being subjected to harassment in Central Park. Warren Howard said they asked him to relate their experience to city officials.
Ignoring is condoning, and we already have laws against street harassment anyway, and so I think we should take their comments and their concerns really seriously.
Howard says he will ask the citizens who've made the claims to attend Mayor Chuck Charles' next community forum on diversity to express their concerns. Howard's son, earlier this year, appealed to Ashland commissioners to pass a fairness ordinance.
Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles says his next community meeting on diversity will take place November 18th at the New Hope Baptist Church. He says he wants to continue the dialogue he began last month at the Ashland Transportation Center.
I think if we wait and don't have these type of conversations and don't talk about issues that are on our minds but we're afraid to talk about, I think that weakens a community. But I think conversations like this only strengthen communities, and I think we all need to have those conversations.
Charles says Reverend Stanley McDonald will host the November forum.
Ashland City Commissioners today agreed to use a portion of Central Park, where a skating rink once stood, as a small dog park. Commissioner Marty Goot pushed the idea, which was approved on a vote of 3-1. Goot says there's a great need for such a facility in Ashland.
About every other house has a dog, and that park is used every day to that capacity. The only ordinance that we have against it, dogs are not allowed inside the park.
Goot says the city will just need to erect a fence and put some benches in the area. Commissioner Larry Brown voted against the dog park. He says the city doesn't have any information on how much it'll cost. Brown thinks there should have first been a citizen's survey on the issue.
A new study of Eastern Kentucky workers says the labor force has declined by 20% over the past 10 years, as people have stopped looking for work after being stymied by their lack of professional certification and a struggling coal industry. The survey, conducted by Boyette Strategic Advisors and sponsored by the nonprofit One East Kentucky, surveyed more than 500 workers and 200 employers in 27 eastern Kentucky counties over the past few months. Kay Stebbins, one of the study's authors, says a big problem is out-of-work coal miners have the experience without the professional certification, which hurts them when they apply for new jobs. She adds, workers are often reluctant to participate in job training programs because they are expensive and don't guarantee a job at the end of the process.
The Rowan County School System is looking ahead to its next construction project. After completing $4.5 million in renovations at the district's high school this summer, Superintendent Marvin Moore says officials are now discussing the work that will be done on the current home of the Rowan campus for Maysville Community and Technical College. Rowan Schools bought that building 2 years ago for $5 million. While Moore says the district expects to take possession of it in November of 2017, it will be a while before it's ready for use due to some planned upgrades.
We've been talking to our architects now, and time we planned and time we advertised and time we put it out there for bid, that's probably going to take another 10 to 12 months for bid and completion. So I'd say probably up to 3 years before we actually move the central office to that location.
In addition to the central office, Moore says the district is considering the possibility of putting its early learning center and alternative school in the old Round Campus Center, along with constructing a field house inside of it.
According to the director of the school's Rowan campus, opinions regarding a possible change to the name of Maysville Community and Technical College are split about 50-50. Russ Ward says officials have received varying ideas about the proposal during their public forums over the past month at MCTC's campus centers.
In the Maysville area, you know, there's a long history there with the name of the college being part of the city. But as we have expanded on a more regional level over the last 15 years, you know, communities have voiced a little bit of concern over this. Nothing bad. So it's kind of went both ways. There's, you know, some that say we should change and some that say we shouldn't, and some are very indifferent about it.
MCTC President Dr. Stephen Vasek will hold the latest town hall meeting about the proposal to change the school's name tonight at 6 on the Rowan campus. Ward predicts it will likely be a year before a decision is reached on the matter.
In 2 weeks, an ambulance district property tax increase in Carter County will be set in stone. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Grayson Journal-Inquirer reports the Carter County Emergency Services Board last month approved an increase in the property tax rate for the service, upping it to 9.6 cents per $100 of assessed value. Officials with the Carter County Clerk's Office say registered voters in the area have until September 22nd to come forward and say they plan to challenge the increase. But so far, no one has done so. The Emergency Services Board members say the increase is needed in order to provide sufficient services, as well as pay for better equipment and more ambulances. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Your weather forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s, chance of rain is at 40%. Tomorrow, warm and mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then partly cloudy near dawn. Lows in the upper 60s. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is at 40%. In Ashland right now, it's 92 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 90. Inez, 92. Lexington, 91. Winchester, 89. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 90 degrees.
The time is 4:44. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, we have commentary from MSU professor Rick Carrick. He examines the motives of those supporting the two leading U.S. presidential candidates.
Today, we're just 2 months away from the presidential election on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. While Libertarian Gary Johnson and Green Party candidate Jill Stein are on the ballot, the race boils down to Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton had an 8 to 10 point lead in early August, but Trump has been gaining the last 3 weeks, and Hillary's lead in the poll indexes is now more like 3 to 5 points. My own prediction was that Hillary would win by 6. As a result, I see the election as being on track. However, there are a number of commentators who believe that Hillary should be ahead by 10 to 15 points and are outraged that Hillary is working on a fairly narrow win instead of a landslide of historic proportions. There's a way I can't really blame them. Donald Trump buddies up with Russian strongman Vladimir Putin, gives shout-outs to all forms of white racism, routinely stiffs his contractors, disparages the American military, and has more failed businesses than I have rejected book proposals. Trump has also threatened to send large numbers of troops back to the Middle East, deport 11 million undocumented immigrants, stop making payments on American debt, withhold support from NATO countries, deregulate Wall Street, and give urban police carte blanche in black communities. All of these ideas are tremendously wrong-headed and destabilizing, and critics wonder how any decent human being could support Trump, let alone why Trump is running as close as he is. Some, like Mike Lupica of the Daily News, blame Hillary Clinton for not running a better campaign, while others, like Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone, wonder what's wrong with white males that they, actually we, given that I'm a white guy myself, would support Trump in such large numbers. But I believe it's important to look at mainstream white conservatives in particular. Many white conservatives recognize Trump as a disaster, but find themselves weighing the potential disasters of the 2016 election for them. If Hillary Clinton wins, it's quite possible that she'll lock in liberal majorities for a long time to come. The U.S. is becoming a more urban society with a rapidly growing minority population and a younger generation that cares little for the small government agendas, Victorian social values, evangelical religiosity, and bloated militaries so strongly favored by conservative constituencies. A Trump victory might be the last chance conservatives have to overturn Roe v. Wade, privatize Social Security and Medicare, overturn the regulatory state, and convince millennials that the America of the 50s is worth fighting for. If not, mainstream white conservatives face the apocalypse of permanent minority status, fading political power at all levels, and being strangers in a multicultural, socially liberal nation. Faced with a choice between the disasters of a possible Trump administration and the disaster of cultural and political homelessness in their own country, many skeptical conservatives are leaning towards a vote for Trump. Most presidential elections in the United States are about the future. The 2016 election will remain close as long as most white conservatives want to put off the future as long as they can.
Dr. Rick Carrick is a professor of international and interdisciplinary studies at Morehead State University. It is currently 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Here in about 12 minutes, the latest in national and international news will be headed your way on NPR's All Things Considered. Until then, Braxton Howard has a look at the sports world for us. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State Football Eagles have their home opener on Saturday at 6 p.m. against VMI. After being grounded up by number 12 James Madison 80-7 last week, Coach Rob Tenure says his Eagles will face a different kind of challenge in facing VMI's cadets.
This is going to be more of a pass first, run second type of opponent, which is totally opposite of what we just faced in James Madison. So it's playing into our strengths a little bit, but we still got to be able to play at a high level and be productive and execute. Bottom line, this team executes the best this week, the team's going to win.
Like Morehead, VMI lost its opener, falling last Saturday on the road to Akron 47-24. The Cadets beat the Eagles 43-40 last September in Lexington, Virginia. The University of Kentucky football team is preparing for its first SEC game of the season. After a 44-35 home loss last weekend, the Cats now move on to Florida. Kentucky offensive coordinator Eddie Grand says his squad will face a big challenge on Saturday.
Solid top 10 defense, you know, good up front. Their front four are really, really powerful and quick, athletic. Their linebackers are solid and their secondary is great defense. I mean, when you talk about a top 10 defense, they're doing something right. Yeah, it's normal Florida.
Florida is 1-0 after beating UMass at home 24-7 last weekend. The Gators have a 29-game winning streak against Kentucky dating back to 1986. Head coach Marvin Lewis says his Cincinnati Bengals are excited about Sunday's opener on the road against the New York Jets. Lewis admits the Bengals will likely be in for a tough game. He calls the Jets a well-put-together squad.
Kind of a football team on offense. They've added a lot of parts from other places around the league and put a great group together. Obviously, the accomplishments last year of what the receivers did and what Ryan did as the quarterback. And then defensively, where most of them have been kind of homegrown. And a lot of good young players, young talent has grown up.
Sunday's game begins at 1 p.m. Lewis says playing the game on the 15th anniversary of 9/11 just outside of New York City will add an even more special meaning to the game. The NFL football season kicks off tonight. The Broncos and Panthers renew their Super Bowl rivalry tonight in the opening game of the season. AP correspondent Bruce Morton reports.
Both sides stress that as of tonight, it's a new season, a new game, played by teams with different personnel. Perhaps the most intriguing in a long line of matchups involves Denver starting quarterback Trevor Siemian. He may have been on the Bronco team that won the Super Bowl, but he was a third stringer and has yet to throw an NFL pass. Then again, when he does, he'll be going up against a Carolina secondary featuring not one, but two rookie cornerbacks. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Brown County's football team will bid again for its first win of 2016 tomorrow night at 7:30 when the Vikings entertain Fleming County. Coach Gene Peterson says the biggest key for Ram will likely be the ability of its defense to prevent big plays by Fleming's vertical passing attack. He admits that might be easier said than done.
We're more confident, you know, against a team that really likes to run the football. You know, we're all in there and, you know, can stop the run. Now, when you spread us all out, you know, then you got a lot of one-on-one situations and you know, something that we don't see a whole lot of right now.
2-1 Fleming is led by junior quarterback Josh Crump, who has already passed for 687 yards and 9 touchdowns. Also on the high school gridiron this week, longtime rivals East and West Carter will meet tomorrow evening at Olive Hill. West Carter coach Kevin Brown believes ball security will be a big key for his Comets.
We do not need to turn the ball over. You know, that's going to be a big thing in regards to this game is turnovers, and if we can come out on the plus side of that, then we feel like we'll give ourselves a chance to win.
Both East and West Carter enter the game with 1-1 records. After being swept at home by the New York Mets, the Cincinnati Reds now visit Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates this evening at 7. The struggling Reds have lost 12 of their last 16 games, but manager Brian Price says outfielder Adam Duvall has been a major bright spot for his club.
It's been a special year for Adam, and the run production, you know, getting closer. He's close to 90 RBIs now. He's got his 30th home run. He's hit a bunch of doubles. He's played really a very, very solid left field. So it's really been a breakout year for him, and we're all excited for him and certainly happy that we were able to acquire him and see this type of productivity here in Cincinnati.
11-7, Dan Straley will take the mound for the Reds. The Pirates are going with 11-6, Ivan Nova. Also from the world of baseball, former Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow has signed a contract to play for the New York Mets minor league team. Next up for the Morehead State volleyball team, the Eagles challenge this weekend at Jane Stadium. MSU coach Jamie Gordon's team will have 3 chances to improve on its 2-5 record.
Our serving efficiency has got to be better, and we've yet to get into that rhythm. And what we're working on as a team, but also individually, is finding that balance of the aggressiveness, but the consistency there. And you know, as a coaching staff, we've got to help those players find what that serve is for each of them.
MSU kicks off the event at Weatherby Gym tomorrow at 11 a.m. against Appalachian State. Ball State and Northern Kentucky are also taking part in the tournament. Finally in sports, the Morehead State soccer team is looking ahead to a shot at moving above the 500 mark. The 2-2-1 Eagles host Western Carolina on Friday at 6 p.m. Freshman goalkeeper Caitlin Mason says MSU is playing well defensively right now, but still needs to do a better job of generating some offense.
Just got to find the back of the net. Just got to connect those passes and keep working in the final third to find the back of the net.
The Eagles have scored just 5 goals this season. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Morehead State football season tickets are now available. 6 home games are on the schedule, beginning with the Eagles hosting Virginia Military Institute on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower despite a surge in oil prices as investors digested the European Central Bank's latest monetary policy decision and remarks made by its president, Mario Draghi, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 46.23 at 18,479.91. The S&P 500 was down 4.86 at 2181.3, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 24.44 at 5259.48. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The ECB kept interest rates unchanged and did not announce an extension of its quantitative easing program, and many market watchers had expected the ECB to come up with further easing measures in terms of their monetary policy, so this came as somewhat of an unpleasant surprise to the markets. Investors also analyzed economic data from the U.S., with weekly jobless claims coming in 4,000 lower at 259,000. Also, the Energy Information Administration reported that weekly crude inventories declined 14.5 million barrels last week, and this sent oil up as oil prices rose very sharply, settling up over 4% higher at $47.62 a barrel. Overseas European stocks traded lower, with the Stock 600 index falling about 0.3%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 dropped about 0.3%, and the Shanghai Composite rose 0.13%. The gold markets today, rather quiet, settling $7.60 lower, with gold finishing at $1,341.60 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and Goldman Sachs, and your worst performers were Nike and Apple. And among S&P 500 stocks, your best performers were Chesapeake Energy and Diamond Offshore, and your worst performers were Tractor Supply and Whirlpool. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 73 cents at 118.58, CSX up 14 cents at 28.95, AK Steel down 7 cents at 434, Marathon Oil up $1.05 at 16.74, Marathon Petroleum up 35 cents at 43.44, and AEP was up 5 cents to finish at 66.10. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is at 40%. On Friday, warm, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then partly cloudy near dawn, lows in the upper 60s. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain 40%. On Saturday night, mostly cloudy with showers likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the evening, lows in the upper 50s, chance of rain is at 60%. And on Sunday, sunny with highs in the upper 70s, and on Sunday night, clear with lows in the mid-50s. In Ashland right now, it's 92 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 90, Inez, 92, Lexington, 91, Winchester, 89, and here in Morehead, on MSU's campus, it's 90 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, and with our feature commentary, MSU Professor Rick Carrick. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.